If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to two very familiar passages here tonight. First of all, we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And then when you get that, if you want to go ahead, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter number 6 thereafter. And but we're going to begin there in 2 Corinthians 10. Praise God. Most of our text here tonight, many of you would either know how to quote it verbatim, or you would be very, very close to doing so. Nothing new here tonight. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 3. And the Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Praise God. Let's jump over to Ephesians chapter number 6. And in Ephesians chapter number 6, we will take up reading verse number 10. Paul's still writing, just to a different one. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devils. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all preservation and supplication for all saints." Amen. I did not intend to add this into our lesson, amen, but last night in prayer, the Lord began to deal with me about something, and I felt like, well, I'll probably preach that Sunday night. But today, amen, the Lord just kept dealing with me about it, and I said, okay, God, I'll preach it tonight, amen. And so we're just going to simply title it The Spiritual Man Part 2, amen, The Spiritual Man 2. Last week was The Spiritual Man Part 1. We'll do The Spiritual Man Part 2 here tonight. Praise God. Would you help me pray, amen, tonight the will of the Lord would be done. Let's pray for these prayer requests as well. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I might preach like it's Sunday night, but this is still be a Wednesday night Bible study, all right? Praise God. Amen. The Apostle Paul is oftentimes found using metaphor of warfare to represent the life and the trials of the Christian individuals. As a matter of fact, the two texts that we used this morning are examples of such. Amen. Paul was very familiar with warfare, and I think that it is unique that in how that he gave himself to doing what he felt was right, and that he gave himself to fight and to press for the things that he felt was right until the Lord moved upon him. And at that point in time, he turned unto the Lord and began to have the same zeal towards the things of God. We could go into, I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 and verse number 11, and we could see the things that Paul was using as the fruits of repentance. But here in our text, he just simply says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He said that though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And in the book of Ephesians, he talks about the whole armor of God. When writing unto Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, he would charge Timothy to commit unto thee, according to the prophecies which went before him, that thou, he said, that you would be by them, mightest war a good warfare. Amen. Paul was interested in Timothy having and warring a good warfare. In his next letter unto Timothy in chapter number 2, he would say that you would endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. For no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of his life, that they may please, or that he might please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, he summed it all up when he finalized the letter with Timothy, and he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And so Paul lets us know and understand, amen, that this fight was not just a one-time thing, but it was a continual battle that he called his course, and that it was in order to be able to keep the faith. What he was letting us and helping us to understand was that the enemy is after your faith. Praise God. Amen. He might be able to get you to do a few other things as well. He might be able to get your bank account to fall down below zero. He might get you to file bankruptcy. He might cause you to lose your house, to lose your job. He might cause you, amen, to lose your car or something like that. But he's not interested in those things. He's not going to do anything with those things once that you have lost them. He is after your faith. Praise God. You need to remember that. He is after your faith. But we also understand that Paul is not the only biblical author, amen, that would reference spiritual warfare in his writings. We would be able to read in the epistles of Peter and see that he references warfare, and even James would write, amen, and would begin to reference warfare as well, using such powerful words as having power and enduring and persevering through the temptations and the trials. So John would write of warfare when he saw a man and the Spirit in the Lord's day, and he would begin to talk about the battle that would come, the battle of Armageddon. Jude wrote concerning the war between Michael and the devil, and Jesus even spoke and said that there was war in heaven. It doesn't just stop in the New Testament. The Old Testament is full of biblical warfare as well. The children of Israel taking in the inherited promises of God, and the enemies trying to fight and to steal land from the children of Israel, and slavery and such things that come because of warfare. And so throughout the scriptures, there is a revealed revelation that our spiritual being is going to have to battle in order for us to obtain heaven or to make heaven as our home. Amen. I think that it would be good to remember, amen, as to remind us that hell was prepared for no one. Everlasting fire was not prepared for anybody but the devil and his angels. We covered that last week. Amen. We also need to be reminded that Jesus told us that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Amen. That is conflict. Amen. Conflict. I want you to know that if you are a child of God, there is going to be conflict. You just need to make sure that your conflict is with the devil and not with, amen, your brothers and your sisters in the Lord. Amen. Your brothers are for you. Your sisters are for you. And God is for you. And if God be for us, then who can be against us? Praise God. The enemy wants you to feel like your brothers and your sisters are against you. But you've got to remember, amen, that that's the ways of the devil. Amen. The devil is interested in sowing discord. The devil is interested in bringing in division. Amen. I think that in warfare, the United States will be able to stand and say, united we stand and divided we fall. Praise God. I want to make heaven my home. And not only do I want to make heaven my home, I want to go to heaven with you. I want to go to heaven with others. I don't want to see anybody die lost. Praise God. There ought to be something with inside of us that, amen, that manner, that desire, that fervency in the spirit, amen, as we pray and as we come together in worship and as we live day by day, that we ought to want to see nobody be lost. Amen. Some of us need to pray, God, give me a vision of hell. Let me get a glimpse of it. Amen. Because when we could get a glimpse of it, envision it, amen, you would not want your worst enemy to be lost. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't want to get hung up here because I've got something to preach, amen, but I don't understand, amen, how that there is such division in the church of the living God. I'm painting with a broad brush, amen. I'm not painting just this church, amen, but I don't understand how, amen, that the mentality of so many that are out there, amen, that they're in the business of kicking people out of the church. Amen. We got to be in the business of getting people in the church. Praise God. I want to go to heaven. Amen. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I believe that there's going to be people there that believe it stronger than I believe it. And there's going to be people there that believe it less than I believe it. But what do I believe? I believe you got to repent of your sins. I believe you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. I believe that you got to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and without the Spirit of Christ, that you're none of His. I believe that you got to believe in one God, and there's only one God, and He is above all, through all, and in us all. I believe in separation from this world, coming out from among the world, and being you separate, and being holy before the Lord. I believe in living your life as holy and consecrated as you possibly can. Hallelujah. I believe in standards of holiness. I believe in personalities of holiness. I want to do everything that I can in order to be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. And that's just good to get us started. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. But I want to do whatever it takes to get to heaven. I want to be saved. By no means of the imagination do I want to be lost. Amen. And I don't even want to come close to being lost. I want to make sure that my heart is right. I want to make sure that my mind is right. I want to make sure that my spirit is right. I want to make sure that I am right. Because I want to be saved. I have one shot at this. I've got one chance. I've got one opportunity. I understand that there are many that are backslid today, and some of us here today, we would say, you know, some of you may be able to say, you know what, the mercies of God and the grace of God kept me, and I was backslid, but God, and we are so extremely thankful for that. But I'm talking about on that day of judgment, on that day of rapture, on that day of that eternity begins. Amen. We've got one shot at it. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. And I cannot ignore my adversary. I cannot just go through life, amen, just thinking that my good works alone is going to save me. I've got to make sure that I've got a revelation, that I understand that this is a spiritual thing. This is spiritual. It's spiritual. Praise God. I don't want to be caught up on good works. Do I need to do good works? Absolutely. Absolutely. Jesus said, by this all men shall know that you are my disciples when they see your good works, your love towards one another. Amen. And so good works is essential. If we've got the Holy Ghost, we're going to produce good works. Amen. Praise God. You're going to produce good works. You're going to, amen, by your fruits, you shall know each other by their fruits. And so we're going to produce good works. We're going to produce, we need to be producing good works. And when there's no good works that are being produced, then the enemy's got his hand in it somewhere. And I cannot be ignorant of Satan's devices. I've got to know. I've got to realize. I've got to understand that everything that I'm not willing, nor am I ready to blame every little thing upon the devil. Sometimes it's just me. Come on. Sometimes it's just me. And so I think I've said it one time before, but I'll say it again, that I was at a conference somewhere, and they had some books out, and they were selling these books, and so I looked at a book, and I said, you know what, this is the book that I need right here. This is going to have all of my answers in it. And I bought the book for the title only. I've never read a page in the book, and it's still on my bookshelf. And the title of the book just simply is, I Thought It Was the Devil, But It Was Just Me. You know what? Because that's the way, you know, that's just the way that it is sometimes. And sometimes the devil lets us self-destruct. He may give us a little push when it comes close and stuff like that, but sometimes he just lets us self-destruct. And so how do I prevent that? I've got to make sure that I stay at an altar and I stay praying and I stay doing the things that you see what I'm saying? The spiritual things. I can never lose the reason, the purpose, and the importance of coming to church. Come on. I'm talking about some of the things that the devil wants to steal from you. Well, it's just Wednesday night. I can miss Wednesday nights. You know what? You may be able to miss a Wednesday night here and there, but you know what? You're going to continue to grow weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a time, and I'll get back to my notes here in a moment. But there was a time when my truck, I believe, it may have been the Explorer. It's been since I've been here. It hasn't been too long ago. But I was running on empty gas tank, running on empty. And I think that the thing had already dinged and said that I had like 8 miles or whatever and stuff. And so I drove over here to the church. And I said, I got time, you know. I go put gas in it. You know, I know I got to go to Andover. I got to go to Wichita. I got to do these things and stuff. You know what? I got time. It'll be no big, you know, I'll get it. And so here I am at the church. I was doing my thing, doing whatever and stuff. And so the phone rang, and I'm on the phone. And so I had to go. I was running late for wherever and whatever I was doing, running a little bit late. And so I took off, went and jumped in the vehicle and started it up and just ignored all the warning, all the caution, all the little things and stuff. I just ignored that. You get to that place, you hit okay, 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 and just got to go. And so, you know, I just took off. I just took off. And so here I am heading towards Andover. And, you know, somewhere about Santa Fe Lake Road, it dinged at me again and it said I had 0 miles. You know, that's where you don't want to get caught spiritually. You know, because life can catch you up and things can catch you and different things can get your attention and get your attention off of the things that you ought to be paying attention to. And then all of a sudden something's going to go ding and you're going to look over there and you're like, oh, no. And there you are and it says 0 miles left. Amen. That's why it is important. I didn't plan to say that. I need to say it again Sunday. Amen. Praise God. Y'all can just back me up and just preach a little bit louder when I say it on Sunday. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And so we have to remember this. We have to remember that Adam and Eve, that the only reason that the devil came against them was because that God loved them. It was not because, amen, what their last name was. It didn't matter how much money they were making or not making. Amen. His beef with Adam and Eve was just God loved them. God's favor was upon them. God's hand of safety and protection was upon Adam and Eve. And because of that, the devil hated Adam and Eve. I want you to know here today, amen, that the devil does not love any bit, any part of humanity. He doesn't love the alcoholic that's out there right now. He doesn't love the saint of God that's in the church right now. But you're going to feel the wrath of it, amen, because as we have said before, he already has the alcoholic, but he's trying to get you. He's trying everything that he can do in order to get you, but he doesn't love you, and he doesn't love the alcoholic any more than he loves you. You got to understand that his beef is with God, and humanity is God's creation, and so he's going to do everything that he can in order to get you to fail. He does not want you to live now being blessed of God, and he does not want you to live in eternity in heaven. Amen. The devil hates you. Praise God. Amen. He hates you. He despises you. Amen. And it's all because of God. Amen. God wants the best for you. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, but I am come to give you life and life more abundantly. Amen. God is saying, I want to give you. I want to bless you. I want you to be the head and not the tail. I want you to be blessed when you go in. I want you to be blessed when you go out. I want all of these things to come upon you. I want to watch over you. I want to keep you. And the devil's saying, I just want to destroy you. I want to kill you. I want to steal everything that you've got. I want to steal your sanity. I want to steal your righteousness. I want to steal your holiness. I want to steal your joy. I want to steal your liberty. I want to steal everything that you've got. And God's on the other side saying, I want to give you joy. I want to give you hope. I want to give you peace. I want to give you, amen, a sound mind. I want to give you power. I want to give you love. I want to give you tomorrow. I want to save you for eternity. That's what God wants for us. Praise God. And so one of the most powerful scriptural revelations that we have concerning this ongoing spiritual war is given to us by Jesus in Matthew chapter number 16. And verse number 18, as he said, Jesus would say, tell Peter, he said, upon this rock. We're not going to talk about the rock, the revelation and all that. Amen. We're just going to take it for what it is. He said, upon this rock, I am going to build my church. And there's going to be conflict. That's what he says. There's going to be conflict. He said, but the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. There is some scriptural, a spiritual importance that is played upon that. The gates of the city, the gates of Jesus said here, the gates of hell, but the gates of the city, amen, is where all of the elders would meet, kind of like down at City Hall or down at the courthouse, and they would establish all of these things, and they would vote in amendments for the city and set the rules and all those other things for the city and such, amen. Well, in those days, they would meet at the gates, and they would have their meetings at the gates, and they would establish authority, power, and dominion, amen, division of things and such at the gates of the city, amen. And Jesus was saying, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The spiritual authority of hell shall not prevail against the church. We also know that this is a defensive saying. Amen. That the gates of hell would not be able to prevail against the church. Amen. That the church is doing the prevailing. The church is doing the pushing. Amen. And the gates of hell are doing the resisting. They are resisting the church. Amen. And the gates of hell are not going to be able to prevail, amen, in that as the church is pushing, amen, trying to get through in those things, trying to conquer, trying to save, trying to help, trying to do all the things, amen. And in reality, what it is saying is that the gates of hell shall not be able to allow the church to come into that city and to take out of that city that which they need to. And so you're walking through the gates of hell, going into this world and finding your family. Amen. The Bible said in the book of Jude, some saved by fear. Amen. Pulling them out of the flames, out of the fire. And that's kind of where it all is. And so here we are as the church. And when we pray, the gates of hell, amen, has got to open up. And when we fast, and when we read our Bible, and when we do these things, when we witness, and we're using spiritual warfare, the gates of hell cannot resist it effectively. They're not going to prevail against the church, overcome the church, overwhelm the church, but the church is going to be able to do everything that it needs to do. We've got to remember this, amen, that the life that I live is not just my own. I'm living to try to save myself. I'm living to try to get to heaven. I'm living to try to refrain from going to hell. Every day that I live, there is a spiritual battle that is involved in my life. Praise God. Praise God. And so the church has its weapons. Paul said weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. And so there are weapons that we have. I'm not going to dig into these tonight. I think at some point in time we'll get into it a little bit deeper. We'll talk individually about these things. But we know and we understand that the weapons that we have, number one, we have to keep it, is the Word of God. The Word of God is that's what Jesus fought the devil with. That's what Jesus overcame the devil with, was the Word. The Word. And we've got to make sure that we hide the Word in our hearts, that we don't sin against God, but also that we hide the Word of God in our hearts, that we would be able to use the Word of God. When you pray, pray the Word. Amen. Pray the Word. Find you some chapters in Psalms, and when you begin to pray, amen, you can just go verse by verse and pray it specifically. Just pray it word by word. Just pray it. And some of those, you may want to take out the these and the thous and the yees and the yeas and all that other stuff and put in me and my and all of those other things and pray it in your vernacular and such like that. But pray the Word of God. Pray the Word of God. Use the Word of God. Use the Word of God in different things. Amen. Let the Word of God be upon your mind. Also, in the Word of God, as closely associated with this, is the doctrines of God. The doctrines of God are the Bible are powerful. Amen. And you've got to be able to know these things. Why? Because the Bible said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you or make you free. And he that is free is free indeed. He that the Son is set free is free indeed. And so you're going to use these words. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard against it. And the Word of God is going to come to your mind. And you need to be able to quote the Word of God or be able to go back to the Word of God. You know what? There are times that I'm like, you know what? I know that's in the Bible somewhere. But you need to become so familiar with your Bible. And I've changed Bibles so many times in the past few years, but I am becoming acquainted with just this particular Bible, and so I can just about say, you know what, I may not know exactly where it is, but I know it's over here in Corinthians somewhere, and it's going to be down on the bottom side of this left-hand page. And when you get over there, you're like, yep, right there, that's what I'm looking for. Amen. But you familiarize yourself with that. You know the doctrines of God. Why do I need to know the doctrines of the Bible? Amen. This is what the devil came against Jesus with. Amen. He came against Eve with. Did God say? Has God said? Amen. You need to know if God said this or that. Amen. You need to know the doctrines of the Bible. You need to know your Bible. Hallelujah. Beyond that, we've got the weapon of prayer. Amen. It ought to be that when a person begins to bow their knees unto the King of Kings, that all of hell begins to tremble and begins to shake when the children of God go to prayer. Amen. Don't let it be that when a child of God goes to prayer that the devil snickers and laughs and says, I wonder how long this is going to last. Oh, that we could be faithful in prayer. Amen. Let me move on. I've got somewhere I want to go tonight. Amen. We need to be faithful in fasting. These are the things that the Lord said that we ought to use when he told his disciples, "O faithless generation," he said, "How long shall I be with you?" And he went on to say, "This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting." We need to be sure that we're being faithful in the moments of prayer and in the moments of fasting. We need these things. These are just a few weapons. We could get into worship. Worship is a weapon. Worship is a mighty weapon. But let me just say that the devil's not intimidated by your worship. If you're acting like Jack Daniels on the outside and then acting like, amen, the second coming of Christ on the inside. You understand what I'm saying? That Jesus, he was able to deal with sinners. He was able to deal with publicans. He was able to deal with a whole lot of people. But what got his ire up was when he had to deal with the hypocrites. Amen. We're not going to jump off on that boat there either. Amen. But we need to make sure that our worship is pure. We need to make sure when we're outside, we can worship God. Praise God. Amen. But when I come to church, I ought to be worshiping the Lord. And that's what the devil cannot stand, is that when he has fought you tooth and nail on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and you're coming to church on Wednesday, and you can still lift your hands and worship God. Amen. When you can come in on Sunday morning after a week of heartache, and you can still lift your hands, lift your voice, and begin to worship God. That's what he cannot stand. Praise God. Oh God, oh God. Hallelujah. So now let me get to what I wanted to preach tonight. And I'm almost done. But when you begin to read these scriptures that Paul wrote under the inspiration of God, that many times in reading we quickly bypass over. I've read the King James Version many, many times. Many times. Hopefully within another few days, a month or so, I'll have read my Bible through this year, went through my Bible this year. And so then I'm going to work on going back through it again. And so sometimes we can go way too quick, way too quick. My problem is when I go and I see something, I stop, and then I don't ever get done because I get hung up on one little thing and I start studying and looking and searching and all that other stuff, and then I don't get done what I need to get done, get read what I need to get read. And so there are things, and so in our Bible study class that we've been having some Tuesday nights, I'm encouraging us to slow down and look. Just slow down and look. Let's see what really is there. Let's just slow down and take some time to look and to see what is there. And so yesterday in prayer, the Lord began to impress upon me a little certain thing, and I said, okay. And so today I went and I printed all the scriptures and stuff, and I began to dissect it, began to pull out, began to see what was there. And so very, very quickly in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 3, he said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, for everybody in Tuesday night Bible study, what would you say? Repetitious words. So we could say flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. But there's something else that sticks out to me right there. And that's just we. We. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And he goes on to say, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then he says, casting down. Now that is an understanding. All right. The focus is still on we, our. All right. We can't separate and all of a sudden just expect some things to be cast down. This is an understanding that we are still doing it. All right. We are casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity. We are bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then he says, and having in a readiness to revenge all, it's an understanding, our disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. You see what I'm saying? All this is extremely personal. All of this is extremely personal. This isn't just a collective throw-in and just saying, well, the church walks in the flesh but does not war in the flesh. And the church casts down imagination. No. This is very, very personal. Very personal. And then when we go over to Ephesians chapter number 6, and we look here at verse number 10. He said, finally, my brethren. Well, that's going to be you and I. He's addressing us. He's addressing us. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In other words, I need to be strong in the Lord. He didn't necessarily say it collectively. Finally, church. It's brethren. I know that's part of the church, but that's bringing it down. Finally, brethren, I need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And he says, putting on the whole armor of God that you. This armor isn't something that the church body puts on, but it's armor that I have to put on, that I may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to, that ye, you, may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What I'm saying is, this warfare has got to be personal. It's got to be personal. What I am saying is, I cannot win all of your battles. I can't win your fight. I can't overcome the devil for you. I might be able to give you a little bit of reprieve and a little bit of strength with encouragement. And I might be able to send you a text and say, I'm praying for you. And I might be able to pat you on the back and say, I've been thinking about you. Shake your hand and say, thinking about you, care for you, love you. But I can't win your battles. I can't fight the devil for you. And you can't fight the devil for me. Together we can bind together and we can fight the devil. But you understand, I'm going to fight my battles and you got to fight your battles. You can come to church and you can get encouragement and you can gain strength and you can gain hope and such. But somewhere or another, you have got to put on the whole armor of God. Yeah. You can't hide. You can't hide behind my shield of faith all the time. There may be times that you can hide behind my shield of faith and I can shelter and I can help you and I can cover you for a little bit, amen, from the fiery darts that are coming your way. But sometime or another, the devil is going to catch you on your own. The devil is going to catch you by yourself. The devil is going to catch you alone. And the devil's going to have access to your mind. I'm sorry, I cannot see what's going on in your mind and see when it happens and just slap you upside the head and say, devil, get out of that mind. And you wouldn't like that too much anyway. But you understand that when the devil is fighting your mind and he is talking to you and he's dealing with your mind and he's telling you all kinds of things, somewhere or another, you got to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. And you've got to say, devil, I'm going back to the word of God, that weapon. And I'm saying, devil, you are a liar, according to John 8:44. You are a liar and you are the father of lies. And if you speak anything, it is but a lie, and I am not going to listen unto you today. You've got to do that. I can't do that. I can encourage you, but somewhere or another, you've got to take the helmet of salvation and apply it to your head. I can tell you all day long, you know what? You need to put your shoes on. Your feet need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, there's some thorny ground that's up there. I can tell you, put your shoes on, put your shoes on, put your shoes on. But I can't put your shoes on for you. Somewhere or another, amen, you understand that the devil's going to want to wreck your peace, amen, the gospel of peace that is there. And we could go on and we could go on and we could go on, amen, having our loins girt about, amen, with truth, amen. You've got to do that. I can't do that for you, amen. I've got to do that. You can't do that for me. I've got to have the helmet of salvation on. Your helmet's not going to cover my head, amen. I've got to put the helmet of salvation salvation on. You've got to put the helmet of salvation on. I've got to put the breastplate of righteousness on. But my righteousness isn't going to cover you. You've got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You've got to put on, amen, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You've got to pick up the shield of faith. And I have to pick up the shield of faith. But it's going to be a personal thing. We've all got to do it. And God said, I've got enough for everybody. Amen. If you want faith, you can have faith. If you want peace, you can have peace. You want salvation, you can have salvation. You want truth, you can have truth. And God said, I'm giving you everything that you need to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let's stand here tonight. Praise God. I can call you and I can encourage you. Your sisters in the Lord can call you and encourage you. But somewhere or another, you've got to cast down the imaginations. Somewhere or another, you have to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war in the flesh. I can have that revelation. You've got to have that revelation. You can have that revelation. I've got to have that revelation. We don't war in the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the mighty through God to
pulling down of strongholds.
Pulling down of strongholds. Thank God for my brothers and sisters. Got to be personal. It's got to be personal. Brother Hunter, I don't want you to have to fight by yourself. I want to fight right beside you. I want to help you. I'm praying for you, standing with you. But you understand there's temptations that I can't defeat for you. You've got to do it. And that's the same with me. I appreciate, you know, I'll just be honest. There's days that I just go and all of a sudden my phone goes off and I'm like, it's another text. Oh, wait, this is a good one. Put a smile on your face. Text from a brother. Not my brother. I don't expect to get good texts from him. Text from a brother or a sister. I'm like, you know what? That's exactly what I needed. And it makes me want to do that to somebody else. Hey, let's see here. You know, and then there's times that I'm just praying and I feel that unction. You know, text so-and-so. Okay. But you know what? If nobody ever texts me,
right.
I still got to be saved.
Hallelujah.
If nobody ever encouraged me, I still need to encourage others. Why? Because that's just right. That's just right. And so I want to encourage people. I want to help them. Because I don't want to see anybody be lost. But I can't save anybody either. If they don't want to be saved, I can't save them. I told a young man one time, I said, listen to me. I said, I'll fight every devil in hell with you, but I'm not fighting you and the devil.
Yes.
If you want to be saved, we'll do everything that we can to help you be saved. But if you're continually slapping and biting and kicking and fussing, and there's not a whole lot... You know as well as I do, you can't help those that don't want help. And so you know what you do? You just pull back, pray for them. Like, hopefully they come around and see that I'm trying to help.
Right.
Somewhere or another, we got to make it personal. Oh, it is personal. I didn't say personal with your brother and sister. It's personal with the devil.
Yes.
That's where it's got to go. That's where it's got to be. So I was praying, and the Lord said, I give them everything that they need to win. But somewhere or another, we have to pick it up. Put it on. Walk. And fight. We do. We have to fight. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Right. I want to be saved. And so, whoever you are, whoever we are, because it's we, I want to lift your hands up. I want to encourage you. Fight on, soldier. Keep on pressing on. I press towards the mark, the high calling of the prize, which is in Christ Jesus. That's all we can do. Just keep pushing.
Right.
Just keep pressing. I want to be saved. But you know what else? There's an entire world out there that's depending on somebody breaking through to reach them. And I feel like that's where we are right now. And I know we can say, well, this Wednesday night's been a little bit, you know, kind of. That's why I feel that way. Because the devil only fights the hardest when he tends to lose the most. When he stands to lose the most. And so when the enemy's pushing and pressing and stuff, that's when the church has got to remember to push and to press. To push. I looked up all kinds of defensive battles today studying. I could talk about Thermopylae. Just 300 soldiers stood in the gap and fought and fought and fought, trying to give somebody else an opportunity to be saved. Pushing back that Persian army, allowing somebody to escape. There's so many other battles. Stalin's, Hitler's, all of these others where they stood outnumbered by hundreds, yet they stood in defiance. Defense fought. We could talk about D-Day and how entrenched the Germans were to not allow anybody on the beaches of Normandy and all the others. But yet the United States and Britain and all those others said, we're coming through. That's the way the church has got to be. We're coming through. We're coming through. We got to have revival. We got to see people saved. We got to see people saved. And that's because of people understand and realize this is a spiritual warfare. People are going to be lost forever in hell. I want to do everything I can to save them. Amen. Praise God. I think it would be good if we just spend a little bit of time. Amen. Come down around the front and pray. It's early yet.